And good evening, folks. It's Friday night, and we're gathered together again for another wonderful day. Some folks may consider this day a bad luck day, but I don't believe in bad luck or superstitions because, again, you and I are a child of God, so superstitions does not even bother us. So we don't care about that because we get our power from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beth, she's out on a women's retreat, so she will not be here tonight. And Fred, he declined the request to join the meeting. It could be that, you know, he's probably in a still at work, or he's on the road or something or whatever, because he does use his phone. So who knows? I know he can listen to this later. But we're going to start a little bit different, because normally I start off with an introduction and then we go to prayer. So for tonight, we're going to start off with a prayer. Because, you know, there was a prayer request for a lady that Lisa asked us for to pray for. We want to keep her on the mind and add her to my prayer list. So this is how we're just going to start off. We're just going to start off with a prayer. So let's go to the Word of God and give reverence to Him. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You tonight, we ask of You to first off to look within our hearts and our minds and see if there's anything in there that we may have inadvertently allowed in or done or something that was not pleasing to You or whatever it may be. I ask of You to forgive me where I've fallen short, where I kind of allow these things to creep in, and I don't do those things sometimes intentionally, but I do. So please forgive me before I approach You at Your throne, because again, Your word says to come to You boldly, but I prefer to come to You in repentance, you know, in case if I have done something that it is displeasing to You. Father, we stand before You tonight and we have many, many prayer requests. We're always constantly praying and talking to You and asking things in Jesus' name. But one request that a petition we're going to lay on Your feet is our dear friend Lisa asked us to pray for a lady named Jennifer. This poor gal, she's needs some maturing. She needs to kind of, you know, get a little bit closer to You or start coming towards You and get away from the world or whatever it may be. That we are going to pray this prayer in unity, that You deal with our heart, draw her by the Holy Spirit, and open her eyes so she can see the truth and get, if you want to call it help or some advice or some directions or some changes in her life or whatever it may be, that you do that with the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that way she can see she needs You. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately, you know, especially since the past events of 9/11, that many people, that I wonder on that day how many knew You and how many didn't. So as for this dear lady, I'm reminding again in scriptures just now that You do all the drawing. We're going to lay this petition at Your feet, that You draw her towards Christ. Let the Holy Spirit speak to her. Let her heart open up and let her eyes see and let her ears hear. Let her be receptive to people who tries to reach out to, especially Lisa. You know, I mean, Satan likes to do that. He likes to get into people and try to distract them from, you know, Christians trying to reach out to non-believers. But Father, we're going to ask of You to do Your mighty work in this situation here. I ask of You to bless those two who are here, because again, they took time. They came here. They didn't have to, but they did anyway. So I ask You to put a protective hedge around them. Empower them by the power of the Holy Spirit. One's away on retreat right now. The other one cannot make it for whatever reason. I ask of You to watch over those two and take care of them. And Father, you know, sometimes I kind of think I wish more would come here and listen to these messages. I don't know if they're listening to the messages that's uploaded to the website, but somehow or another, the people are going to that site, so I hope that you use these messages to reach to them also. I'm not out to try to paint some sort of a picture or saying how good I can preach. You know, I'm just led to messages directed by You, and that's all. You know, I'm just an instrument. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. You know, it's just not about me. It's always about You. Father, thank You for Your love, Your kindness, and Your support. We all praise you. We all glorify you. We all give the honor to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, I kind of mentioned to y'all, gave y'all a little, I guess, I don't know, like they kind of used the word spoilers, you know, attention, spoiler alert. And I kind of gave y'all a little heads up last Friday about a possible message about making a different turn. I didn't know whether or not I was going to be able to complete it or which direction I was going to go, but I kept thinking about it all that week. And then when I got up Monday, you know, my normal quiet time, my morning cup of coffee and scriptures, I started thinking about this message. And I started thinking, okay, Lord, you know, it's kind of a strange title. You know, again, you kind of put this on my heart. So I started thinking about what would be the meaning. So this is where I was led to. And this is what was placed upon my heart. And this is the direction I went. So, again, I hope that you get something out of it. Again, sometimes the message is for me. I'm not trying to put no one on the spot. I'm not trying to condemn no one or convict anyone or whatever, because if there is conviction, that's done by the Holy Spirit and that's not done by me. So think of this question. Remember the day when you were led to Christ? I mean the exact time when you were faced with the decision to say yes to him or to reject him. Did you at first hand hesitate to say yes? I kinda. Or did you have some sort of doubts running through your mind? Were your emotions at that time running high? You know, mine were a little bit. Or how about this? Did you even think, is this the right thing to do? And even thought, wow, this means I'm going to have to give up a lot of things in my life that I was doing, and I will have to change. Have you thought that? And while all these thoughts were running in your mind, you knew from hearing the word, listening to probably many sermons of repenting and turning, that if you did not turn, or some phrase we heard, you know, either turn or burn, you know. But we heard from sermons and teachings and, you know, lessons and songs about repenting, that if you did not repent, if you did not turn, you were going to hell because of being a sinner. And while being a sinner, if you died in your sins, it definitely will happen. Okay, this is not me, folks. And some people become offended when you try to talk to them about hell and heaven. We know by the Bible what the Bible says. We know what the Word of God says. There's only two places for us. Either heaven or hell. It depends on your choice. There is no in-between. There is no purgatory. Folks, when you die, only two places you're going. Some says, well, you know, when I die, that's it. I'm just going to be thrown in the ground. My body's going to rot, and that's it. Well, I hate to say that. That's not what's going to happen. Paul even speaks, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But you got to understand, that part is, that's pertaining to believers, those who accepted Jesus Christ. So that tells us the moment of death, the moment that you die, and if you are a born-again believer, the moment you breathe your last, you are present with the Lord. But also that works the other way. If you're not of Christ, the moment you breathe your last, you're in the pits of Sheol or hell. Plain and simple. No ifs, no buts, no purgatories, no betweens. But see, when you were presented with that question, Would you like to do something about it? Would you like to rectify the situation? And at that point, when trying to make that decision, you were faced with the hardest decision you ever made in your life. And then at that point, as I just said, you had to decide. But I'm going to throw a butt into this. What would have happened if you decided to make a different turn from the truth? Rejected Jesus and decided to go on to the life that you wanted instead. What if you decided that? What if you decided, I'm going to make a different turn. Sorry, Jesus, but I don't want you. If you got your Bibles with you, and Lisa's going to be kind enough to post it for us, the reading for tonight is going to be in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. And it says this, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But notice the last part of it. Now, I'm coming from the New King James, so there's a little different wording here. But my word says, but you were unwilling. And what she posts, but you would not. Scary thought, isn't it? And that's why I titled this message tonight, Making a Different Turn. And as mentioned in the opening statement, what would have happened if you decided to say no and rejected what God offered to you on that day and that time when you were presented with the decision to turn from your sinful ways? What would have happened if you decided to say no? And see, just as we read in our passage for tonight, God's people were given a choice by the wording of Isaiah. And he said in simple terms, let us return from our evil ways into which we have gone aside and rest and settle in the way of God and duty. And that is the way to be saved, folks. That is the way to be saved. See, in other words, they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice. When Isaiah presented this to them, and he told them exactly what they needed to hear, they had to make a choice. They had to decide. They had to decide which direction they were going to go. Were they going to make a different turn from their former lives and then go into a new life with Christ, or were they going to just stay the same? They had to make a decision. They had to make that choice. Now, picture this. Let's just like we're on a VCR or a DVD or a Blu-ray player or whatever it is. Let's fast forward to the present day, right now, this point. You made a decision, whatever day that was for you, to follow Jesus. And during your time and your journey with him, you found yourself facing a nagging question at times when it seems like the life you're facing is hard. I'm not going to be around the bush. I have thought that thought a lot whenever I've been facing hard times in my life with Christ. And see, during these times, you may have found yourself saying, I wonder. I just wonder what would have been like if I did not say yes. I wonder. I wonder what my life would have been like if I not said yes. Have you ever found yourself at that place in life when the way forward to you looked hard? And at those times you wanted to turn around and go back to where you were? You tried to move forward in your walk with Christ, and yet in the process things have gotten harder and harder rather than easier. And then you realize that to continue to move forward, it's going to require more out of you than you want to give. And sometimes the battle of the mind takes place. The battle of the mind takes place. And when we get to a place when the way forward seems to look difficult, we often tend to glance back over our shoulder to see what is it we left behind. And sometimes we conclude, it's easier just to turn around and go back than it is to continue to struggle and move forward. We think that thought sometimes. I know I did, and I still do sometimes. I shouldn't, but I do. Paul even talks about it in Romans. He does the things he knows he shouldn't do, but yet he does. And I relate to that, and I like it, because that's personal. Paul is letting us know, hey, folks, I have difficulties at times. I struggle. I have these thoughts. I like that because, again, I have the same issues. There goes the voice. You see, to us sometimes when we're faced with difficult life lessons, it's hard to move forward at that time. We do have those struggles. So as I just said, sometimes we conclude, hey, it's just easier for me just to turn around and go back than to move forward. So we ask another question. Why do people turn back? I'm sure that you have encountered many people that once said yes. Man, excuse me, folks, please. See, he's trying to stop this message. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that attack in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, leave my voice alone and get out this room. Get away from us. We're here to glorify God. So now we need to ask the question, folks. Why do some people turn back? You would think it would be obvious that turning back isn't really the way forward. And yet professing Christians do it all the time. So now, why? That's some thought to think about. Why do many who claim to say yes to Christ turn back? She just posted one's pleasure, and I agree with that. Because they come to believe that the past is more promising than the future. When the way forward is hard, you're tempted to turn back. Why is this? To me, I drew a very simple conclusion to this. I gave it some deep thought. And to me, it's very simple. And she kind of hit on just a little bit right there. Very simple. Why do they turn back? Well, to me, it's the appeal of our old habits and our pre-conversion way of life is still very strong in us as we want to follow Jesus. You should know it. Bible mentions this, the old man in us, the sinful nature. You know, I just kind of wish that David would have said yes and meant it by the heart, that God could have just reached down in there and took that old thing out of us, and we'd just be filled with nothing but the pureness of the Holy Spirit. But folks, it doesn't happen. We just went from a mode change, from a sinner to a born-again believer. We still have that old sinful nature in us. So he is still trying to appeal us to go back to our old sinful habits. That's why we call it a spiritual warfare. That's why we call it a battle of the mind. You have the Holy Spirit on one side, you have the sinful nature on the other, and we are in the middle. And they're constantly fighting for control of the mind. But see, that's it a lot, constantly fighting. But the Holy Spirit does not have to fight. We say it's fighting because, again, we're the ones doing the fighting. What we got to be doing more is submission. We need to submit. We need to submit to the full control and authority of the Holy Spirit himself, and not of that old sinful nature. Yeah, he's trying. He's trying to place those thoughts into your minds. But we must not give way to those sinful thoughts. But it happens. It happens. Because again, the temptations of the old life, it's always there. It seems pleasing. It seems like it would offer us more pleasure. Because again, human people are pleasure seekers. They love to seek pleasure. And yet, you know, many professing Christians, they turn back. They turn back, and for others, we think, well, what would it have been like if I did as well? What would it have been like, you know? I wonder what it would have been like if I would have just stayed my old ways. You know, a song came on the other day called The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. I don't know if y'all know them or not, but, you know, I listen to a lot of music, but when I listened to that song, it brought me back to my old ways. And I started thinking about those days, how me and my partners used to have fun. We used to go out there and drinking and getting into all sorts of drugs and troubles and this and that, and it seemed like to me, man, that was cool. And my mind kept reflecting on that. Before you know it, I started drifting more. Oh, well, let me listen to a few other songs I used to listen to. And before you know it, I started thinking, man, you know, that life wasn't a bad life. How wrong was I? Well, for those of us who do turn back, and we kind of think, okay, well, why do they turn back? Well, again, I think the reason why is mentioned. And I think Luke chapter 9, verse 62 gives us a clear explanation of it. This is what I'm taking from it, folks. But I think the reason why it's mentioned, now, I think the reason why many turn back, because in Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says this. And it says, Jesus said to them, or to him, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. Now, folks, don't get bent out of shape. Don't get mad at me. Some folks get mad. Oh, I don't like it when preacher uses scriptures like that. I don't like it when they're quoting, you know, hard sayings like that. Many I have encountered lately get bent, offended, and getting mad. And they harbor that in their hearts. Well, folks, look, if that is you, again, that's not me saying this. It's the Word of God saying this. And yes, this is a hard saying. Man, because when I read it, boy, I tell you what, just look at it as plain as day. When Jesus is saying, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Or in other words, the kingdom of God. Wow, Jesus, really? Boy, that's kind of hard, isn't it? You see, folks, one that turns back after giving way to those thoughts are the ones, to me, and this is why I feel the answer is right there. One that turns back after giving way to those thoughts are the ones who follow Christ. But, now, pay close attention to this. These are the ones, I feel, who decided to follow Christ. But they made a different turn because, again, the decision to follow Christ may have been hasty or rash, or they may not have counted the cost, and they were not sincere in their hearts when they said yes. It was just superficial. Maybe they got caught up in an emotion. Maybe they got caught up in a feeling. Maybe they just did that and they just been going through the motions for a while after a while trying to change their way. And they decided, you know what, I didn't count the cost. It was rash. I was in trouble at that time. I just made a decision. So I made a different turn. I'm going back. You see, folks, I struggled with that myself early on. See Jimmy give up. See Jimmy quit. See Jimmy, God's not going to help you. God's not going to lead you. God's not going to get you out of them drugs. God's not going to get you out of that drinking. God's not going to get rid of those cigarettes. God's not going to do that. God's not going to, he's not going to help you. Go back to your old ways. But I knew something in me was there because I kept hearing the answer, no. No. That's why I said those who are truly born again do not go back. They can't. Yes, they struggle. Yes, they have those thoughts. Yes, they think about maybe I should have went back. But they keep pressing on because we are overcomers. We are endurers. Those who are truly born again Christians. Anybody can call themselves a Christian, but that does not make you a born-again believer. We see many sports stars and Hollywood stars and many other people calling themselves Christians. We even see people in church calling themselves Christians, but we see them posting things on Facebook. We see them going to places they shouldn't be going. We see them kind of using language out of their mouth. We really see no change. You see, folks, those are the people where they have never been converted. Because I'm telling you, once you have received the Holy Spirit, yet you do struggle with those things. But you don't desire them. You don't want to go back because you think, well, if I go back, it would be better. But no, you always, if you submit to the Holy Spirit, you're going to have him leading your heart saying no. And he has told me no many times. I'm going to tell you right now, he did. And see, folks, if we mean to follow Jesus Christ, we must lay aside everything and the thoughts of the great things in this world. Let us not try to join the profession of Christianity while seeking after worldly advantages, because it will not work. It will not work. If you're trying to seek after Christ, but you want to seek after the things of the world, it's not going to work. You can't play both sides of the fence. You cannot be a fence rider. You either got to be one way or the other. And you can't say, well, I'm going to try Christ for a while. If it don't work out, I'll just go back to my old ways. No, folks, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like, well, let me just try this out, like us trying out a new car, a new bicycle, or a new stove, or a new type of a food that we might like. No, folks, when you make that decision to turn, you better make sure that you're willing to count the cost. You better make sure you're willing to count the costs. When the way forward is difficult, and it has been for many of us, it forces you to live by faith. and not by sight. We know Hebrews 11:1 says that. That's why going back is much easier, because you know what it is you're returning to. You've been there and done that, as we say. And thus, there's no faith required to go back to where you once were, because you know those things. You know those things. That's why Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. And we have to trust God by faith. And we have to do that daily, every day in our born again lives. You see, folks, the way forward is difficult. It is. And this is how we're tempted to turn back to what we once were, because it's our old nature that's still in us, as I said earlier. It's because those deceptive little habits, those God-belittling mindsets, those unhelpful relationships, those things call out to us. They're beckoning us not to leave them. Don't leave us. Oh, don't leave us. They're pleading with you to return. Come on. They're promising to satisfy us. Oh, they're promising to give us freedom and joy and goodness and full life. They're beckoning your call. They're calling out to you. They're telling you in your mind, come on. Come on. Are you going to dismiss us? Because if you do, from this moment forward, we shall never be with you again, forever and ever. They're tempting you. They're telling you these lies. And they're telling you the biggest lie of all. Do you really think you can live without these things? When the way forward as a Christian is hard, you will start hearing these voices calling out to you, come back, come back, come back. I kind of recall that scene in Titanic when Rose, you know, when Jack was, you know, it's obvious that he died from hypothermia, but she was still holding on his hand, but she let go of him. But, you know, and he had to go down into the deep. And yet, you know, she saw that lifeboat over there. She saw the light. She was freezing. She was cold. And you know the saying, how she started speaking, look, come back. Come back. Come back. And she swims and gets that whistle and starts blowing it. You know, come back. And these guys, they hear it and they shine the light to her and they come back to us. See, that's how the old way is doing to you. And then when you start hearing those voices, you start recalling those memories, how good life used to be. And you begin to think, well, well, life was not that hard as it is now. You start thinking, well, you know what? My life seemed like it was easier back then. Didn't seem like I had much troubles. Seemed like I was doing pretty good. But now, man, it seems like, boy, it's hard. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's difficult. A warning to us right now at this particular point when you get in that position. Don't listen to those voices or look to those memories. Don't. Understand when your old attachments are talking to you, learn to turn a deaf ear to those voices and turn a blind eye to those memories. Make a different turn. On the other hand, train yourself to listen to the voices of God in the pages of scriptures and with the ears of faith, and look to the promise of his scriptures with the eyes of faith and hear what God promised to do for you as a son or a daughter, and see all that He has in store for you as heirs of the inheritance through Jesus Christ Himself. Now, do you still think making a different turn would have been better? Do you still think that? I think not. Make the right turn and endure it, and the rewards will be great. Different scenario. So let's say you did go back and made a different turn. What you will find when you turn back to the things of your past is perhaps some short-term reward. But in the end, you wind up enslaved, or even worse, death. And this is Paul's first warning to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. This is his warning to them. And this is his warning to us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 says this: "But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and worthless principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Or perhaps in bondage?" I added on to that, and that was there in that passage right there. Take heed, folks. Take heed. This is a warning to you and I, born-again believers. This is a warning by making a different turn, by turning back to the garbage of your past. You won't go forward to the glory of God's promise. You get that? By making a different turn, turning back to the garbage of your past life, you will not go forward to the glory of God's promise. Turning back means turning your back on the only one who truly knows you. And when you turn back, you find not greater freedom, but greater bondage. And that's not what the worst thing is about turning back. What's worse is this: by turning back to the old attachments of your pre-conversion past, you wound up turning your back on the only one who truly knows you. But listen, when it comes to living the Christian life, turning back isn't, listen to this, let me repeat this. When it comes to the Christian life, turning back isn't the way forward. It's not. In fact, turning back is sheer madness. It is first-rate folly. It's a first-rate folly to turn back because, first of all, turning back leaves you powerless to move forward. Why? Why? Why it leaves you powerless to move forward? Well, because what you find when you go back to your old way of life is not greater strength and freedom to help you move forward. It's just the opposite. It brings greater bondage and slavery to what once held you captive. And knowing all that, and sadly we know during these times of thinking, we still think these thoughts at times, we still do. And I wonder what my life would have been if I just said no. We know that during these times of battles, we thank those stars. I wonder what my life would have been like if I just said no. And yet during this process, many doubts will come to you. And you begin to think that old nagging question. What would my life been like if I just said no? Would I have been better off? Would I had all that I wanted? Would life have been good to me? Would it? Ponder on that one. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. How many here tonight, and I'm sure that we all seen this movie. We all probably seen this movie. I mean, I watch it over and over constantly. It's A Wonderful Life. Y'all remembering the main character? George Bailey? Remember what he said in one part of that movie? He said that, I wished I never had been born. And guess what? God used that to show him what his life was like if he had not been born. And afterward, what George experienced, he found out that he really did have a wonderful life. So now when you think, should I have made a different turn in my life? Should I just kept living the way I was? And would my life have been better off? Would it? And if you thought this, then you need to ask yourself this question. Would you really had a wonderful life, or would it been much worse? Would it been good, or would it been worse? Like the Israelites of the old who found themselves in the wilderness, but they wanted to go back. They experienced redemption in Christ, but have not yet made it to the land of promise. And they were finding the way forward as Christians to be really a difficult road to travel. So they too were tempted to turn back. Do you think making a different turn would have been better? And if you're like me, and at times, I have those thoughts of making a different turn. But in the end, the turn that I made, folks, the turn that I made was the correct choice. Accepting Jesus Christ was the correct choice. And I have no regrets. None. And I say this because turning back isn't the way forward for us. It won't get you to where you want to go. It won't get you where you need to go. The only way for you and I to get to the promised land is through the wilderness. You get that? The only way for me and you to get to the promised land is through the wilderness. And that's true for us. That's true for you as an individual here tonight. The way through the wilderness is the appointed path for God's people. There is no other way forward. None. And Paul and Barnabas, they knew this. And I'm sure they could have made a different turn into a different direction. But they knew the only way was forward. And look at what they said. Look what them two, look at what they said in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And I look at this a lot, and I kind of think about them. You know, maybe they were thinking, they thought, should I have turned? Should I have said no? But when you read this passage in Acts 14:22, which says, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. With that, folks, we must endure many hardships in order to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Get that? They said that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So if you're thinking, and I'll leave y'all with this, if you're thinking of making a different turn would have been better, no. Nah, I think not. The only way we must go is forward. And the reason for this is three things. The only way for us to go forward is three things. If you get anything out of this message, please get this. Going forward leads you into freedom and life. Going back plunges you into slavery and death. Second reason, going forward will lead you into the kingdom of God. Going back will cause you to perish in the wilderness. And third, going back and thinking I should have made a different turn isn't the way forward. Well, folks, the wilderness of this life is fought with many tribulations. But this is the only way forward into the kingdom of God. No other way. No other way. So you're thinking by making a different turn would probably been better for you? I think not. Going forward towards the kingdom of God is the only way for you. It's the only way for you. There is no other way. There is no different turns. Press on. Move forward. Endure it to the end. Amen. Let's pray.